Hello, I am Gabriel, lead pastor of Grace Communion Richardson, and I want to welcome you to our Sunday worship stream today. Here at Grace Communion Richardson, we seek to know Jesus and to make him known through worship, through family fellowship, and through community or neighborhood engagement. And we do all of that out of the compelling love of God expressed in Jesus Christ. You are welcome to our stream today. Please feel free to send us your prayer request. Again, I know there are a lot going on right now in our nation and around the world. So if you have any way that we can support you in prayer, please don't hesitate to send that to us. And you can send it to the address on the bottom right corner of your screen right now. And also please feel free to share your comments with us. We would love to read what you have to say. And if you are watching with someone, let us know and where you are watching from. It is nice to know these things. It makes us connect even more that way. So thank you for sharing with us in these ways. As you may already have noticed, Grace Communion Richardson is a diverse church. We are ethnically and in many other ways diverse, a diverse community that seek to know each other, seek to relate to each other, understand each other, love each other. Through the love that God pours in our hearts, we are not perfect, but we seek to live out what it means to have our identity in Jesus, which we share in common, that common identity in Jesus, as well as the common humanity that God has given to all of us. We recognize our diversity as a gift from God, and we value it, and we want to share it. So, you are more than welcome to join us on that journey. At this time, I want to ask you to join our praise team as they share a song. And then after that, we'll have opening prayer by Ruel, and then a scripture reading by Lucy. And then I'll come back with words of thanks for your life of generosity and for your financial support of our gospel work. And then we will go into the message for today. So please stay with us.
Good afternoon. Thank you for joining us. In Psalm 100, 4 through 5, give thanks to him and praise his name. His love endures forever.
My Savior, oh, there is none like you. us pray. Father God, we are so thankful that we're here today, God, to worship you and to praise you online, Father. We're thankful for our team. We're thankful for our families and friends who are with us today, that we can listen to your word, God, and apply it to our hearts. We remember those, Father, who are affected by the virus right now, to those who've lost their jobs, to those who can't see their family and friends. We pray for those, dear God, who are sick and just immobilized, dear God, with the virus, who cannot go out. We pray for those who are working as frontliners as well, risking their lives every day. Father God, may you continue to guide us, Father, as we face these problems, and may you continue to strengthen our hearts. May you fill us with the Holy Spirit, that as we work and as we think and whatever we do, that we may remember that you are God and that you are in control of everything. May you surround us with your love, Father, and comfort us in these troubled times. We praise you, God, for we know that you are our provider, our healer, and that you are always, always a good, good Father. We love you, Jesus, and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Romans 8, verses 1-11. So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. The law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature. So God did what the law could not do. He sent his own Son in a body like the bodies we have as sinners. And in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving his Son as a sacrifice for our sins. He did this so that the just requirement of the law would be fully satisfied for us who no longer follow our sinful nature, but instead follow the Spirit. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things, but those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death, but letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. For the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's laws, and it never will. That's why those who are still under the control of their sinful nature can never please God. But you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you. And remember that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to him at all. And Christ lives within you. So even though your body will die because of sin, the Spirit gives you life because you have been made right with God. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you.
Thank you so very much to our Grace Communion Richardson worship team for that song, and also to Ruel for the prayer and Lucy for the scripture reading. And congratulations to Ruel and Lucy on their engagement to be married. All the very best to you too. Now I want to say specifically to Grace Communion Richardson members, supporters, and those of you out there who share our values and have been financially supporting our gospel effort, thank you. Thank you so much for your spirit of generosity and for your financial support. If you want to support our church and our gospel effort, you can see the ways that you can do so on your screen right now. And I want you to know that your donations are tax deductible. Thank you so much for joining us in participating in the life mission of love of Jesus in this way. Thank you and God bless. Well, welcome back to the main message of this worship stream. And for those of you who like titles, the title of this message is Not Condemned, Rescued. Not Condemned, Rescued. In Jesus, God does not condemn me, neither should you. In Jesus, God does not condemn you, and neither should I. Yes, God accepts us as and where we are. All of us, the good, the bad, the weird, the ridiculous, God accepts us as we are and where we are. But He does not leave us how and where He finds us. He doesn't leave us there. God makes us new in His Son. The best you and me He created us to be. And then He sends us on our way unto Himself. Yes, God does not condemn. Rather, He rescues. And I want us to spend a little bit of time looking at this very important truth that Paul talks about in Romans chapter 8, and which Lucy graciously read for us. You remember last Sunday, we talked about Paul becoming vulnerable in sharing how he struggled with doing what he knew to be right. He was being vulnerable when he shared. Even, you know, some commentators said he'd been converted and actually been in a leadership role as an apostle for about 20 years when this was written to the believers in Rome. And he said, look, I don't always do what I know to be right. In fact, I don't always do what I want to do, what I delight in to do, what I desire to do. How am I going to resolve this? That was Paul's question in Romans 7, the end of it. And the response he gave was that the resolution comes through God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Thanks be to God for that, he said. And so in verse 1, Romans 8, continuing, he talks about what we are going to be talking about. Have you ever condemned anything in your life? I've condemned a few things over the past few years. I've condemned socks. I've condemned watches. I've condemned t-shirts. I think one of my favorite thing that I found hard condemning was a military surplus tank top that I had, a green one. I like that military surplus tank top. I wore it as often as I could, and of course it became threadbare. And also it became smaller as I continued to grow, especially in my cute middle. And I had to get rid of it. It was hard for me to condemn that tank top and send it away to the trash or whatever happened to it. I don't remember exactly what happened to it now, but I had to get rid of it. But that's what condemnation of things, sometimes how it goes. But have you ever condemned a person? Now, more often than not, when we use the word judge, we are really referring to condemning. When we say, don't judge me, we are really saying, don't condemn me. Because the word judge, especially in the Bible, in the New Testament, sometimes used in two different ways. One is when it is used to talk about evaluating right and wrong. Evaluating what is right and what is wrong. And then, of course, the other is when a condemnation is passed. And so condemnation is a little bit more serious than judging. Condemnation is coming to a conclusion. And that conclusion is inevitably negative, right? So condemning is a little bit more serious. It is when we judge someone not to be worthy. Or put it in another way, when we judge someone to be worthy of punishment, to pronounce a conclusive adverse sentence, a damning opinion on someone, to consider them irredeemable. That's what condemn means. And in Jesus, God does not do that. God does not condemn us. God does not consider us irredeemable. God does not consider us worthy of punishment. God does not consider us worthy of an adverse or damning opinion, right? Rather, God considers us what? Worthy of rescue, worthy of redemption, worthy of reconciliation. And that's why he sent his son, Jesus. And so in Jesus, that is how God sees us. God does not condemn, he rescues. That's the message of Romans chapter 8. Let's read from verses 1 to 4. Romans 8 and in verse 1, Paul says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because, verse 2, through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. And so he goes on to explain in these verses, all through to verse 4, I'm not going to read all of it, explaining how that message of no condemnation comes about. He's saying that this reality of us not being condemned, but rather rescued, comes through Jesus. It is Jesus who has paid for the penalty, the condemnation that we would have received. Jesus takes care of it. He took upon himself the condemnation that would otherwise be ours. And he paid the price, and he intercedes for us rather than condemning us. We see this in verse 34. Let's jump there briefly. In verse 34 of Romans chapter 8, Paul says this: who then is the one who condemns? And then he responds to his own question and says, no one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. So Paul basically is saying the person, the only person who has the right to condemn is Jesus, and he's not doing that. Rather, he's interceding on our behalf. God, brothers and sisters, is not in the business of condemnation. That is Satan's role. He's the one who is called the accuser of the brothers and sisters. And that is not our role either, to condemn. It is Jesus who has the authority and the ability and the capacity to condemn, and he does not. He is rather in the business of redeeming, of interceding, of rescuing. Isn't that amazing? So, Paul again in these verses say that we are not condemned because we are involved in, operating in, the context of the law of the Spirit. And that is really pointing to Jesus Christ. In other places, Paul calls it the law of Christ. The law of Spirit, the law of Christ is the same. It is really talking about Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life. He's the one who provides us the gift of freedom from sin and death. Jesus does for us, friends, what we cannot do for ourselves. We cannot rescue ourselves. We saw that last Sunday in chapter 7, the last few verses, as Paul bared his soul, so to speak. And here in chapter 8, Paul is sharing how we get that freedom. We get that freedom through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ comes in and does for us what we cannot do for ourselves. Those of you who are familiar with incarnational Trinitarian response-oriented theology understand that Jesus is our response to God's holy, perfect, righteous love. We are not holy. We are not perfect. We are not righteous, and we cannot be as humans, fallen humans, broken humans. So Jesus is our response to God. And that is where our freedom is. That is where we do not have any condemnation. In verses 5 through 8, Paul again shares what Jesus has done for us on our behalf. He says, God in Jesus accepts us as we are, where we are. All of us. Again, I have to say that, because sometimes we think God accepts us only when we are good. Have you ever thought that? That God accepts you only when you are good. And then when you're not, then you are rejected. No, that's not how God works. God accepts us, all of us, when we're good, when we're not. The good, the bad, the weird, the ridiculous, as I like to put it, all is acceptable to God and in Christ. But God does not leave us there. Even our good is not good enough, brothers and sisters in Christ. Our good, our human good, does not rise to the level of the perfection and righteousness and holiness of the love of God. And so Jesus is the one who bridges that gap. He's the one who makes it possible for us to have that kind of relationship with God at that level that God created us to enjoy. So he does not leave us where he finds us. Part of not condemning us is just that, friends. He doesn't stomp on us when we are down. No, he raises us up. He doesn't leave us there. He raises us up. And he transforms our minds and our hearts. And that's an at-once process. And that's an at-once and a process. That transformation, it occurs in him and it is worked out in our lives through the challenges and trials of life as we acknowledge his presence in our lives and as we assume his mindset, his frame of reference, his motivation in how we think about things, how we make choices, and how we make decisions. We allow Jesus to be our standard bearer in all of that. That is the process I'm talking about that is being worked out. So to not be in the realm of the flesh, which Paul talks about in verses 5 to 8, which is basically saying that we do not live out our selfishness, the human natural selfishness. To do that is to be in the realm of the flesh. And not to be in that is to be in the realm of the spirit. Okay? So to not be in the realm of the flesh is to not be motivated by the material, by the natural. And there are a lot of people who are motivated by the natural and the material, who make decisions and choices on the basis of the natural, the basis of the material. They are only interested in the here and now and what they see around them and how it impacts them. No, for those of us who accept the Lordship of Christ and accept our identity in him, that cannot be our frame of reference, the material and the natural. No, the spirit should be the frame of reference. Jesus should be the frame of reference. Because Jesus transforms us, God in Jesus transforms us into the image of his Son as the Spirit works that out on a daily basis. That which is already being accomplished, objectively completed, is being worked out, is being manifested in our daily lives, even as weak and struggling and limited as we may be. God does not hold that against us, is the point I'm trying to make. God does not hold our challenges and difficulties against us. He uses all of that to help us to understand His presence and His present aid with us, and His help as we make choices and decisions along the way. And then in verse 9 to 11, Romans chapter 8, let's read verses 9 through 11. It says, you, however, after saying that, you know, we're not supposed to be motivated by the natural sinful nature. It says, you, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. Verse 10, but if Christ is in you, if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And then in verse 11, he says that if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. So Paul is saying here that this transformation of the mind, this transformation of the heart, this rescue that we are talking about does not stop with how we think, how we mood, how we act. It goes even to the extent of changing our bodies, rescuing our bodies, transforming our bodies. You remember he ended by asking, who is going to save me from this body of death? In Romans chapter 7, the last couple of verses there. He says, who's going to save me from this body that is subject to death? Well, Paul responds here in chapter 8, in verse 11. He says, look, even the body that is not a very good vehicle for serving the righteous desire of God is going to be changed so that we can indeed serve the righteous desire of God. In verse 10, he says, look, death is not going to be a hindrance to the transformation process. So our body itself is going to be what? Transformed. And that transformation is called the resurrection. And he talks about that. The same God who resurrected Jesus is going to resurrect us. So this is a wonderful way that Paul shares the total transformation that God grants to you and me. It is a transformation that is of the mind, of the heart, of behavior, and of our bodies itself. It's a total transformation. It's not a half-hearted one. The rescue that God provides is a total rescue. It's not a half-hearted rescue. It is not a rescue in part. He doesn't just rescue a part of us. He doesn't patch and do a patchwork of us. It's a complete and total rescue that God gives to us. What I like to call a be-over that God gives us. You know, you've heard of makeovers. Or, you know, you do things about certain parts of your body and you have had a quote-unquote makeover. Maybe it's through makeup, maybe it's through plastic surgery or what have you. People have these makeovers. Well, God is not interested in makeovers. God gives us a be-over. And you've heard of do-overs as well. God is not only interested in our behavior. God is also interested in the vehicle with which we behave. And so he gives us a complete, total be-over. Be-over from our broken state to our ideal state. How he created us and intended us to be in the very first place, which is exemplified, modeled in the person and life of Jesus Christ. So to accept our identity in Jesus is to accept a journey of transformation in Him. He does the transforming. He imputes His image unto us. We win in Him at the end of it all. When the final whistle or call is made in Jesus, you win. And it's a total victory. It's not a partial one. Paul is encouraging us to understand this in these passages in Romans chapter 8 and verses 1 through 11. So what it is? What is it that you feel condemned about? What is it that you feel a failure about? What is it that you feel weak, limited about, disappointed in? Well, the story does not end in how we feel and how we see ourselves, brothers and sisters. The story ends in how God sees us and how God feels about us and what God says about it. And God says, you are not condemned, neither am I. That should give us that sense of freedom. That should give us that sense of hope. And that should help us understand then that just as God does not condemn you, I should not condemn you. Just as God does not condemn me, you should not condemn me. Now, that is not to say that we do not help and support each other, and we can help and support each other within the context of evaluating our identity in Jesus, who He is, and how we are. And when we recognize that, it's how we're able to help and support each other along the way without condemning, as modern parlance we say, without judging, if by judging we mean condemning, because God does not want us to condemn one another. We do not have the right to do so. We don't have the capacity to do so. Only He does, and He does not condemn. He rather what? Rescues. He saves. He transforms. He redeems. He forgives. He reconciles. That's the business God is in, and as a business, God has called us to participate in Him. So, question, would you believe that in Jesus, God does not condemn you? Would you join me in accepting the love and grace of God in Jesus for you? Would you accept your identity in Jesus and trust Him to transform you into the freedom that He gives, the freedom to love Him and your neighbor, no matter what background they come from, no matter what ethnicity, no matter what gender, no matter what age, no matter what economic class they may have come from? Would you trust Him to transform you, to exercise that freedom, to relate and connect to others in the way that He does with you and with me? But rather, pray for those who may not necessarily like you, instead of condemning them. That we will use the freedom that He gives us to live not with a material mindset or a natural selfish mindset, but a spiritual mindset, a mindset of love, a mindset of care and concern for the other. That we will use the freedom to persevere in Jesus in spite of the challenges and difficulties and uncertainties of life that we are going through, recognizing the hope that He gives, the peace and the joy that He gives, with the knowledge that He does not condemn us. Rather, He is there, present in all of this with us and rescuing us from all of this. You know, one of the most beautiful understanding in Scripture is this knowledge that Jesus is our response to God. Don't forget that. Jesus is your response to God. It is in Jesus that we are able to respond to the God who loves us, to respond to His righteous, perfect, holy love. Jesus is our response. And in that response, we also are able to share with each other. That same response in Christ, our response to each other must be Jesus's response. The response to my wife should be the response that Jesus gives. The response to my neighbor should be the response that Jesus gave. When I say should be, I'm saying we share in His response. We participate in His response. We delight and desire to live out His response in our own lives, in our own minds, in our own hearts. That's where true freedom is. That's how we are rescued and not condemned. You know, there is, before I leave, I want to remind you of a scripture that most people are aware of. It is called the Golden Verse. It is a verse in scripture that is translated more than any other verse in scripture. Perhaps you already know what I'm talking about. It is a verse that is called the Golden Verse, John chapter 3 and in verse 16. So, for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. We, most people, know that verse. The next verse is so comforting and encouraging. And that is that verse that Paul is expounding here, in my view, in Romans 8. What is that next verse? Verse 17 says, "For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but rather to what? To save it." Amen? Let's accept the saving grace of God and let's live out what that means in our lives with each other to His honor and to His glory. Lord, help us to accept and rejoice in the truth that You love us and do not condemn us. Help us to accept the truth that You rescue us and transform us rather than condemn us. You give us the freedom to be who You have created us to be, the best that You created us to be, that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And help us to accept each other in that understanding, that just as You do not condemn me, You do not condemn the other person. And just as You rescue me, You are rescuing the other person. And let us participate in that mindset of the Spirit to Your honor and to Your glory. Amen. I look forward to seeing you next Sunday as we continue discussing some of these important truths in Romans chapter 8. And as we continue on this incredible journey of seeking to know Jesus and to make Him known, sharing His love and His hope in a world that desperately needs it. At this stage, I welcome you to join our praise team, who will give us a closing praise song, and then we will see you next Sunday by God's grace. God bless you. Salvation sounds a new beginning.
Your love is relentless.
You cover us.
Your love.